Hello and welcome to the IMD Podcast Network. Today, we're exploring a common challenge for leaders and professionals alike, the return to the office after a break. We're joined by two IMD experts in organizational change, Professor Michael Watkins and executive coach Brenda Steinberg. They'll help us understand the post-summer blues and provide a roadmap for making a successful transition back to work.
Hi, I'm Michael Watkins, professor of leadership and organizational change at IMD. I've enjoyed a real break this summer, and I hope you have too. But as August comes to an end and we prepare to return to work, it can send some of us into a bit of a tailspin. And I should say, I personally this summer, almost because it's been so great, have found it a little bit hard to kind of get back at it again. And for those that suffer from the post-summer blues, they can be challenging, right? It's a big transition. The dip in energy and engagement and productivity can feel really hard and really challenging to navigate. I'm delighted to have with me Brenda Steinberg to discuss the post-summer transition. Brenda's an executive coach and consultant with more than 20 years' experience working with senior leaders. She's also the head coach for the IMD Transition to Business Leadership Program, which I co-direct and we've worked together for many years. And together, we're going to explore what can make the return to work feel so challenging, but also what you can do and what you can do with your teams to really make a successful transition into the fall. Brenda, great to see you.
Nice to see you, Michael. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
So, Brenda, you know, we talk and hear about the post-summer blues, but what is that exactly? And why is it so hard for us to kind of shift gears when the holidays come to an end?
I think it's the post-summer blues, but I think it's more than that. I think it's really a moment of transition. And not everybody is having post-summer blues because it's only our hemisphere. Some people have had great summers. Some people may have not had the summers that they've wanted. And that, you know, Michael, a lot of the work that we do with leaders in transitions, people who have been in new jobs, they haven't had summers. So I think sometimes it's helpful to think of this as a transition. You know, we have romanticized views around summer. We have romanticized views around fall, around returning back to school. It's often a time of change. And I think all of the different experiences put a type of pressure and an energy in people, but also within organizations that can both be helpful and not so helpful.
I think that's great contextualization, Ren, and I agree with you, right? And I think, you know, for some, you know, thank God summer's over, right? Where we can get back to the good stuff again. But at the same time, and I don't know whether this is true for you or not, I think, you know, I personally actually took a real break this summer, right? And I think, you know, then the process, and I think you're absolutely right to frame it as a transition of kind of coming back at it again. It's like, I literally the rust and the gears and stuff. And I guess I sort of wonder, as you look at it, and I think you're correctly looking at it through the lens of transition, what's that all about exactly? Like, what's going on there?
You know, I think the first step is, like, for in your situation, Michael, you had a different type of summer than you've had before. You said, I actually took a break. And I'm looking, you know, I have the screen on, so I see you tanned. I see a different type of energy, right? So you took a break. So I think the first step is like, so what was that like? What did you learn about taking a break? You know, you may not be in the same place that you were in last spring. And I think understanding what your experience was like, what did you learn through the break about yourself, about your family, about your company, about IMD? Do you know, as you're coming back and just kind of think, you know, using this as a learning opportunity, that this is what I would love my clients to be doing right now as they're coming back with all their different stresses is, okay, what did you learn?
I was smiling as you were thinking about that, saying one thing I learned is I really like being on break. there is a joy to it. And I think also, you know, it was an opportunity to kind of, you know, reset a little bit from a creative point of view. But it's still hard, right? It's still hard to come back. And I think, and I guess I wonder, you know, what's at risk here? You know, how might organizations be thinking about this?
Well, I think the first thing for you, Michael, to think about what makes it hard, which parts of it are hard. And then it leaves you the opportunity, once you can identify that, then you can also start thinking about if any shifts need to be made there. But you'd also be able to, when you can start listing what's hard, you might be able to start listing also what you might be looking forward to.
A lot of benefit, I think, to having that bit of time away. But I guess I almost feel like a kind of a grieving coming back to, Brenda, honestly, right? That I think it's, you know, I was in such a state of, you know, as many of us are, right, of productivity and working and going, and then you stop doing it. And it's like, wow, you know, that feels really different. And actually, it feels pretty good. And at the same time, I don't know what your experience is. There's a piece of me that is loving being back at work again, right?
Yeah.
But if we look at it too, I mean, I think, as you know, I'm not just a professor, I'm also a leader of people. And I guess I wonder, you know, is there something here that I, as a leader of people, need to be thinking about as I ponder sort of my people coming back to work again?
Great question. I think we need to recognize that everybody has had a different summer, and everybody is coming back to work with a different energy. If you feel it in yourself, it's really important to understand the impact that that might be projecting within your organization. So taking time for that set, for that exploration for yourself as a leader, but also what it might mean for your organization. But I want to go back to the grieving piece for just a second, Michael, if that's okay. If you are grieving, and grief is part of living.
Absolutely.
It's important to make space for it and to understand what you're grieving, because there might be ways that you can bring more of that back into your life. But you can't do that with more of what's giving you the pleasure, you know, more about, you know, addressing the loss. What is it that you're losing? And you can't do that without reflection, because you just barrel right over it. You paper over it.
But I think there's also, and I think it's probably true for many, there's a bit of a fear almost, right, of kind of, oh, I went to this place where it felt pretty good. And am I coming back as sharp as I was? Or did this kind of, you know, make me, you know, And these are inner scripts that go on in one's head, right? You know, kind of like, okay, am I getting lazy here, right? Wanting this kind of approach to doing things. And I think also, you know, the impact on one's employees. I suspect others are feeling sort of similar things. And how do you help, you know, sort of deal with that, right?
Yeah, I think you just mentioned like, a gazillion points in that question that are really interesting. And part of it is around, you said, oh, I took time off. Now, I mean, it's almost sometimes people come back to work where they need to like prove that they were worthy of the time off, or going away and taking time off means you're better at work, right? So now you need to come in and prove it. And so part of it is probably taking a moment also. You'll need to do this for yourself first, but you'll also need to help your teams do this, is where you left in June. I'm using, you know, for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere or working on global teams, right, that people haven't necessarily been in the same space. They've been working, you know, different times. They've had different vacations. They've had different experiences. But what you thought was important in the spring may or may not be as important in September. And so it also gives you a really nice opportunity to say, okay, where are we now as a company, as people, do you know, and what's most important going forward? because I think sometimes that we use this pent up energy or this, and we go in and we're almost think like, if I'm going to get through the next 3 months, I need to be in survival mode. And survival mode is not a great place to be. And that's a little bit where I hear you teetering, like, am I going to get that, you know, is that where I'm headed?
Exactly. And there's a bit of, you know, if the grief is one side of it, the fear is the other, right? Am I going to,
right?
You know, there's both, I think, am I coming back as strong as I left, right? Or have I been weakened by this experience of taking a break? And also, you know, do I have to go back to where I was, right? That go, 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 you know, survival mode, I think is a good way to put it, right? And is there something in between, Brenda, I guess is what I'm saying, that a way to orient myself to the fall that says, look, I can still be productive, I can still have an impact, but I don't need to necessarily drive myself quite as hard as I was.
I think the pattern of taking, look, I just a couple other things that I think is important about the fall. That maybe need to be part of this conversation before I answer that question, is it's also important we're going into the fourth quarter now. And it puts extra pressure on businesses. It's been an unpredictable year. The fall kind of looks tentative, so there's going to be some extra stresses that people may find themselves in. So I think so it's the geopolitical and all everything that's happening, but it's also, it's fourth quarter. And that,
such a good
point. And that brings extra pressure. And
yeah, so that can actually in some ways make it worse, right? Is that you can feel like, okay, you know, I've got this additional set of uncertainties, this additional set of pressures that I really need to kind of deal with. And it's a great conversation, Brenda, because I think that I would love my people too to feel like they can come back, you know, having enjoyed their families, their friends, their summers, and not feel like they have to go back into kind of, you know, overdrive mode again right away, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you have to feel, you're probably having lots of these conversations with your clients as they're starting to reach out and get back in touch. You know, you're hearing stories like, I've been back a week and feel like I've never been gone, you know, and that's about feeling like you need to submerge. and that's going to be a hard one, because submerging is not a long-term strategy. So it's, you know, Michael, this is something that you talk about a lot in your teaching and in your writing, but it's really about managing your energy as well. I mean, it's taking a look at it. It's being thoughtful. It's being able to identify, hey, you know, this I'm dreading. This gives me energy. This doesn't feel as important to me. This wasn't on my radar, but right now I think it's important for the company. Or actually, I learned something about myself this summer and I want to start pivoting. I mean, whatever that new information is really important to be in touch with, because it can impact how you feel. Look, my example is going to be my own personal example is I've been coming back to work this week and I started thinking about both this podcast, but I was beginning to think about the things that are weighing on me. So the parts that I love is the creativity and the work, and the parts that I dread, right, and weigh on me and I can't get away from is the administrative stuff. So I really sat down and I thought, okay, so, you know, what has to be taken care of for me to feel free and for me to be able to focus on the things that actually give me energy? Because that's when I'm at my best.
You're right. I do think a lot about leadership in terms of mobilizing and focusing and sustaining energy, right? And I think what you're pointing to, I think, is a piece of reflection that you're encouraging me to do, right? About really what is there about what's coming that's energizing? What isn't? Is there a way to kind of organize myself around it? Because I haven't done that yet as I come back. And maybe that's maybe that's something that folks can really do coming back is really sort of rethink how they're deploying their energy. You know, I think that's a really interesting idea.
And this has an organizational impact because organizations are comprised of people. Many people have had experiences over the summer with their families or their friends. And also it means that expectations on our personal front may have been changed. So, I mean, this idea of both being in touch with yourself, but also in touch with the expectations of other people, and being able to communicate that, what I'm looking forward to, what I'm not, what I'm finding hard, what is it that you need of me? How can I support you? I mean, this idea of we're not in it alone. And I think sometimes as leaders, or many of the leaders that I work with, they feel like they can do that work on their own. And when it's not shared, it's not understood, but they're not benefiting also from how other people can help support them. You know, Michael, there could be one little ritual that you really want to keep with you over the year from your summer. What would that be?
I guess I wonder too a little bit. I mean, I'm having my first sort of post-summer meeting with my team at the end of this week, right? Do you think I should be explicitly kind of addressing this? I mean, the tendency obviously is to say, hey, you know, what'd you do this summer? Do you have a good summer? Okay, boom, let's go. Do you have advice for people who are leading teams about how to kind of address this?
I think, and I know that I've been guilty of this in the past, both how I respond to people and how I ask the question, is the expectation was, how was your summer? My summer was great. And we give kind of a Facebook social media description of it, or, you know, as short as possible. Because what we're really saying is next, let's get back to business. And if we're signaling that, we may lose some of the awareness that will make us really impactful. So if this is a team that you're meeting with and you really haven't met with everyone together in the last couple months, a question might be, you still need to keep it rather brief, but it would be, you know, where have the intervening months taken you? And what's important for you now? Because you're allowing people to answer you on a deeper level, on something that isn't, I've been to Greece, I was on the beach, everything was great, and boy, the drinks were good. Missing the food. Do you know?
Giving folks, I hadn't thought about doing this, but I think I'm now thinking really hard about doing it, right? Which is a little bit about kind of what was the meaning of the summer for you, right? And also, because I mean, my tendency, and I understand it about myself, and I know it's not a good thing, is okay, boom, boom, let's go, right? You know, let's talk about all the great things we're going to do in the fall, right? Oh, you know, we got a great agenda ahead of us. And I'm, you know, this conversation is making me aware that probably is a little too quick a shift in the gears at some level, right? And I think also, you know, giving people a chance to open up a little bit about what really happened this summer, right? Were there some things that were particularly impactful on you that happened? Maybe also just an acknowledgement, you know, I think it actually, I'm thinking about this out loud, but I think it actually could be quite liberating for my team, for me to talk a little bit about transitioning back and that it's not easy always, right? And yes, of course, I'm excited about the things we're going to be able to do. And, you know, but at the same time, I think you, as you framed it as a transition, I think is a great way to kind of, you know, talk to one's team about this. Yeah.
I mean, we know when people make transitions that they need to be grounded. They need to be aware of what their experience, their emotions, and they need to be able to do it in real time so they can pick up on what else is happening in the team, in the person, in the organization, in the context. And we can't do that from a non-grounded place. So anything that we can do to understand, to help people understand their emotions so they can bring, so they can manage them and bring the best of themselves to work and receive the most benefit from being there and their contributions.
No, and I think you're also making me think, you know, so we both do work with leaders in transition. And one of the frameworks that I use sometimes is what's known as the U-curve, the emotional U-curve of transition, right? You go through the honeymoon, which is kind of, you know, coming back, no, I'm excited. And then there's almost this inevitable dip you go into, right? And what would I say, you know, to my folks about that? Would I want to say, look, it's, you know, coming back is hard and it's, you know, we're all maybe going to struggle a little bit to get back. Is it realistic to say something like that, or is it counterproductive? I mean, what do you think?
I think you want to acknowledge it. But I think the question might be more like, what's challenging about coming back? And so versus, yeah, it's hard. Because that's, but what's challenging? It gives us way to granularize it. But I also think part of sometimes the grounding, and for people who are having a really hard time, I mean, really, really suffering. And again, this is going to be a percentage. It's not going to be everybody. But for that percentage that's really struggling, is maybe thinking, all right, so what's the one thing about coming back that might be good? What might be? And once your mind switches from being closed to finding one thing, then we can also often find a second or a third thing. Now, this is for the set of people who are fairly content in their jobs. I'm not even going to say happy. But you know they're in a contented space. We do have part of the workforce which is really, really unhappy. And those people who are going away from summer feeling burnt out, and if they're coming back with those same feelings, then there might be really other shifts and changes that need to happen. You know, things and submerging yourself. And staying in survival mode is not a long-term. I think there's a certain subset that have some very hard decisions to make. And as leaders as well, we might be need to be prepared to have some of those conversations with people who are finding themselves not in a context where they feel they can thrive.
No, I think it's a really important point. I mean, I'm thinking about my own people again, right? And there's one person in particular. I wonder if the summer will be the catalyst for her to decide to leave the company, right? Not because I think we're not treating her well or anything like that, but I just wonder if these moments can be times when, you know, they sort of crystallize that I really need to be doing something different, right? She's an amazing, amazing person, but at some level, she's kind of reached the limits of what she can do in our company, right? And how do we help her, you know, maybe, you know, decide to make the transition out?
If you have those types of situations, I would really encourage leaders to engage in those kinds of conversations. Because in the interim, you still need that person, right? And that person is still contributing. And if you can help that person with the transition, right? And like, okay, I know this is what you're thinking. I'm willing to help you. Then we can start negotiating how this person can best contribute, the things that only they know, the skills that they have, what that transition would look like. And it's going to help the person tremendously. It's going to help your organization. It'll help your reputation of being a great place to work. And people come in, they learn, they grow, and we continue to transform.
That's really, really helpful, Brenda. I'm going to give a lot of thought to it for sure. Because I do have this call coming up with my team, and I'm kind of in interactions with my team, right, to think about it.
Yeah.
I've got a coach the coach question for you, right? So, you know, like you, I do coaching, and I had a really interesting conversation with one of my clients coming back off the summer that was different than I expected it to be, right? You know, I mean, you expect these kind of, you know, here's what I did this summer, and, you know, here's what I'm thinking about the fall, and blah, 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 right? What he said that was really fascinating was that he found that the the break in the summer actually gave him a lot of ideas about the business, right? It gave him some real insight into strategically what he needed to do for the business. And he was kind of pretty excited about the possibilities. But then he said, you know, but why is it I can't do that in the normal course of the way I live, right? Why does it take that particular kind of time away like that to give me those sorts of insights? And there was almost a kind of like a deep frustration, right? That it took, you know, it took that for him to be able to have the time and space to engage in the deeper work and strategic thinking that was going to really propel his business forward, right? And I have to say, I didn't feel like I had a great answer for him about, you know, about how to, you know, about what to do with that, right? And so what are your thoughts about that one?
I'm always, what I love about coaching is I'm always surprised in what people are bringing to a coaching session, how it changes, and their ideas on that. So I'd be curious around this one. I mean, I don't think there's an answer, but the things I would be curious about it might be around his expectations of himself to always be able to be strategic under any circumstances. I might be curious around what he's learned about strategic thinking. You know, maybe that it needs deep time, that it needs reflection, that it needs a cutout for him. I might be curious about how he spends his day and why thinking might be so challenging.
I think those are great, great questions and ways to sort of get at it, right? Because it's funny, you're making me think that, you know, probably what I should have been doing was exploring with him, you know, what was normal, you know, kind of for him before the summer in terms of the rhythms and flows of his work life, right? And the way he was spending his time. Because what this was, and I guess you're making me think, this was a signal that there was something about the way he was living and leading that wasn't working at some level, right? And I think the question then, I think what you're stimulating me to think about is there a way of maybe reconfiguring things going forward? And maybe the summer then can be a catalyst for a bit of a rethink about how you're managing your work and time and energy, right? Which I think is really, really interesting.
Yeah, or maybe then what he needs to do for the work. I mean, of course, everybody's context is different. And I say it sounds so easy, but maybe he needs to schedule, you know, maybe it's like, well, in order for me to have perspective, I actually need to take a week out. Or I need to hike and take my journal, or whatever that pattern is that's stimulating thinking. I mean, it's also a success story that he found ways to have a breakthrough. So that it almost sounds like there could be a punishing piece in him, like I should have been able to do this sooner.
No, I think that's great, and it's actually really helpful, and I'm going to think about that. I think it's not realistic for him, given his job, to take a week out, you know, on a regular basis, but maybe it's possible for him to engage in, you know, limited amounts of deep work. You know, small amounts may do it, right? And so maybe that's the experimentation that I want to have with him. I'll give you another client situation, Brenda, and these are real, by the way. And so I'm, you know, because like you, I'm talking to my clients at the end of the summer. And, you know, this is a CEO who, you know, has been going through a very deep personal evolution, right, of becoming more, you know, deeply connected to what he cares about, to purpose, right? He's moving out of a fear mode, you know, around, you know, the business, and the business has been very challenging, into something that looks more like a, you know, a more energizing, purposeful, driven kind of mode, right? But and I think the summer was a time for him to kind of really consolidate that sense that that's really what he wanted to do. And then wham, he was hit with like a big set of blows almost immediately when he came back, right? Challenges with his board, you know, additional impacts from what's going on geopolitically. And all of a sudden he's right back into the soup, as it were, again. And I, you know, again, how do you help him think about not losing the sense of progress about his own leadership? And I wonder, do you have thoughts about that?
Well, that's a tough one, right? I think we can all empathize with the CEO. And just like when you were talking with your own, about your own situation, how there sounds like there's some grieving, you know, trouble with the board. There's lots that can do on a personal level. There's, you know, kind of a vision or a dream or something purposeful that you want to do that needs to be put on hold. Do you know, so it almost sounds like in this situation, you need to make both space for the grief, but also he's got responsibilities as a CEO. So how do you then, what kind of mindset might be helpful here now? How can you celebrate also your breakthrough that you had over the summer? You know, is it a hold? Is it dead? Is it perhaps not the right, you know, a longer question, not an immediate question, but, you know, will he be able to bring this forth here? And if not, what does that mean for him? I'm beginning to stutter here. These are hard questions. This is emotionally really challenging and hard for both the person and the coach, because we're happy when we feel that people feel like they're making progress and feel like they're making breakthroughs. And so, you know, you're also experiencing that setback.
I feel it very deeply, I have to tell you, right? Because exactly what you're describing, right? It feels like he had worked so hard, you know, to get to this point, and then the summer really kind of, you know, sort of in many ways brought it together with a lot of excitement, and then wham, you know, you get hit by this. I guess I wonder about another dimension.
Oh, wait, I'm just going to add one thing on this,
yeah,
Michael.
Sure.
I had a mentor once say this to me. When somebody knows something, they're not all of a sudden going to unknow it. So it may not be the timing, but the work that your CEO has done, he knows that now.
That's very helpful, actually. Right. Because I think I guess what you're addressing is a worry I have that it's just going to kind of all go away. Right. And so good. You know, he's a thoughtful enough guy, and he's evolving enough as a human being that I think it, you know, you're giving me some reasons for optimism, which I think is helpful. Right. And maybe also almost a script to talk to him a little bit about this. Right. That this is not a. This is not a return to things as they were, right? This is a dip, right? And he's going to get through it for sure. I've got actually one thing I want to ask very quickly, Brenda, and then I'll just ask you for a few sort of reflections to finish up. So the family dimension, quickly, Brenda, about this, right, is that, you know, another sort of, you know, conversation I've been having is it was just so great to be with the family for the summer. And oh, by the way, the family really, you know, my kids, I got to connect with my kids, my partner. And now they're going through a transition of, watching me go back at it, you know, and kind of, you know, not be as present, right? And do you have any thoughts about how to manage that one?
First of all, we have to be very careful how we manage this, because as parents, or being important in any kid's life, right? We are role modeling this. So if you're role modeling that you go to work, you don't breathe, you come home in a bad mood, you know, that's challenging. I think it's going back and it's telling people what you most appreciated around the time you had together this summer, and talk about what kind of connection you want to maintain in the fall. And then be honest. I mean, let them express their feelings, their needs, but also be honest around what you feel able to do and not able to do. And there's usually, when they know you're making an effort, they give you more grace. But it is a conversation.
Thank you, Brenda. So as we start to just wrap up things, are there a few things that you hope people are going to sort of take away or think about as they make this, transition from summer in whatever form that takes, right? Whatever form summer's taken, whatever form the fall's taken. Are there a couple of things that you think people should be keeping in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I would like people to spend a little bit. I mean, we talked about the self-awareness, but I would like my clients to think a little bit around what's going to bring them joy. I'd like people to have some thoughts around how to be able, what type of energy they want to bring into the work environment, but also their home and personal environments. What kind of mindset would be necessary to be able to bring that energy that you want? And I'd like people not to go into survival mode. I don't think it's sustainable. I would like people to think about what types of breaks, what they've learned around being able to reset and how they might be able to integrate that into quarter four.
Brenda, many thanks for these insights, right? And to all of you who are listening, wherever you're tuning in from, right, on the water, on the beach still, or already back at it, I hope that we've been able to help you, recognize that this is a transition and engage in the kind of reflection and conversations that are going to make it easier to make this return back to work a successful one.
Always pleasure talking with you, Michael. I always learn so much too, so thank you.
That's all for this week. This podcast was proudly brought to you by the International Institute for Management Development in Lausanne. You can find out more at imd.org.